Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, here we are on this Father's Day 2017, and you know, Father's Day can be a real delight for some. For others, it's a painful day. And for still some, it's kind of a mixture of both. You know, maybe some pain, maybe some joy with it. Father's Day, you know, there will be some in this room that today's a hard day because they lost their dad. Maybe this is their first, second, or third Father's Day, and it's still hard to, you know, wrap our heart and mind around and our inner feelings, thoughts, the affection we feel. For some, it's painful because maybe they never knew their dad, don't know who their dad is, or maybe their dad lived in their home growing up, but they still didn't know him. Maybe they were at odds. Maybe there was great difficulty in some of our childhoods that create some hurt feelings and things like that. Maybe for some, it's we look at our own fatherhood and we look at the past that maybe where we didn't do so well as a father. And so that creates some challenge for us, and now we don't know how to make up for the time that's gone on, and you have maybe a more sincere faith in Christ today, and you just don't know how to fix the past with a child or your children. And I just want you to know that, you know, apology and admission and confession to them is can be a piece of it. It's not a guaranteed fix, but we can do our part. And you know, even I've watched it happen to many, well, fathers and mothers that because they feel like they didn't do well in the past with their children, that now as their children are adults, they allow them to take advantage of them because we feel like we need to try to make up for what happened then. And I want you to know that that's just not the case. That's not how it works. You can extend to them a love and show them your new sincerity as a parent, that you can't make up for the past, but you can certainly extend to them an example of your sincere faith in Christ today and trust that God's grace, mercy, compassion, and the work of the Holy Spirit will make up the difference just like He does for all of us in other areas of our life. And so we look at this Father's Day, and there's a mixture of an audience here where we may feel a variety of those things. For others, it's a great elation because, you know, maybe you had a dad like I did. Just makes you very grateful. He wasn't perfect. He's getting closer. You still got a long way to go. And so there are so many things I am grateful for. In my dad, and who he was, who he is now to me. And it's fun, you know, I had a lot of fun being a father. We had 4 children, 4.5 years. They were in our house. Our house was very busy. It was very demanding, sometimes physically, certainly emotionally, because 3 of the children were girls. And there's just there's just an emotional demand that's different raising a boy. And Brock has emotion, he's very passionate, but you know, he bounces back different and he processes things different. And it doesn't make it better, it makes it different. And so, you know, there's just a lot of things. You know, our life has been in life of ministry. This is not a, you know, 9-to-5 job. It's on call around the clock and, you know, different things like that. And so there was just a lot of demand, but I really enjoyed it. I loved when our children were not in school. I loved when they were home. I loved when they had breaks. I loved when they had snow days. I loved when they had summer. I liked it. We enjoyed it. There was a lot of laughter. There was a lot of screaming and wailing and other noises and all of that. But, you know, it was good. And now as they're adults and young adults, it's still fun. It's different. But the beauty that has been brought into our life has been grandchildren. You know, I'm a man who has 3 grandchildren and I'm married to a granny. Yeah, she's working with kids this morning, so she didn't hear that. You know, actually, it's Nona. For whatever reason, she became Nona, and I became Papa to the 3 grandchildren that we do have. Well, 2 of them, of course, live in town. You know them. They run around here, Libby and Will. And so now the opportunity to be a grandfather as well as a father in... I want to talk to you a little bit about Will. This conversation kind of started to happen when he was, just before he was turning 4, just after he was 4. Him and I were together, and I can't remember the exact time and what was going on because, you know, we spend moments here and there together, whether it was in the garage or they're all over at our house or it's just him or whatever, that just living life together. And somehow, and this is on his mind on a regular basis. It's like almost every other time that he's with me, other than saying hi at church and he's running up and down the hall, is he brings up this thing about being tough. And he asked me, "Papa, am I tough?" And, you know, I said, "Well, you know, you got to become a man, and yeah, you're tough, and, you know, I want him to begin to understand what this is." And, you know, I forget where this came from, but he thinks his papa's tough. And so, you know, and I'm good with that, you know, but, you know, I want him to I don't know how he grasped all this at, you know, 4, going to now be turning 5 this summer, because I get a text message one day from his mother, our daughter Brittany, and it was quite hilarious because he was at home sitting there and he had his socks on his feet and he's looking at his feet and he's looking at his socks and he says to Brittany, he says, "My socks are tough like Papa." So I'm not sure how he's processing this and what he's understanding. You know, my papa's like an old sock, or this whole thing. But, you know, so he'll ask me. I mean, he was over yesterday and there was a moment where, you know, "Papa, you're tough. Am I tough?" And, you know, got to work through this understanding of what that means and what the tough guy is and all of this. And, you know, it's real simple at a child age, but, you know, if this is one of the things that he thinks and we have to develop and help and all that, because, you know, all of us have this idea of what, you know, a man should be, what a father should be. You know, it's been imprinted on us, you know, through a variety of venues, whether it's, you know, entertainment or what you see or the neighbor guy or, you know, the teacher or the dad you had or didn't have, a grandfather, stepdad, whoever. And we've collected this stuff. And let's face it, we all become a bit of a product of our past until we come into Christ. Because if I were to just raise my children based upon my impression of what a father is, as wonderful as he is, and the impression that my grandfather's made on me, you know, these are faulty men. I mean, they might be classified as good men, but they're faulty. And so, you know, you have to remember that they are also a product of their past in being raised by someone. And so, you know, we kind of catch some things. There's some things we consciously learn. There's some things that we don't want to do. You know, all of this. Well, the way that we then develop skills in Christ is to understand that in Christ and through faith in Him, we have a perfect Father in heaven. And that is the Father who we are supposed to become like. There might be some characteristics and virtues in our earthly father that can be enhanced by God's Spirit. Then there are other things that need to just simply be washed away. And here's the thing. You and I, in Christ, if we consider ourselves to be a devoted disciple of Jesus Christ, we will be hard-pressed to convince that we are this devoted disciple if we allow our past to shape us, and that Christ, his power of forgiveness and being free from the past to now become like our Father in heaven. If we don't do that, and we just say and fall under the influence of our past, under earthly influence, and say, this is the Father I'm going to become, and this is the way I look at it, and this is the way it is, and we just go with that, and we look at where we've been hurt or disappointed or fractured or broken because of earthly father relationship, I want you to know we will be hard-pressed to become a devoted disciple if we live under the influence of the past rather than in the new power of Christ to set us free and become like the Father in heaven. I want you to hear that. Don't exalt the brokenness of your past as more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ, his resurrection, and the perfection of the Father's love in your life. That is supposed to be the most powerful influence in our life, enough to set us free from the brokenness so that our history does not determine our future. And that's not just for fathers in this place. This is for all of us. And we will be hard-pressed to convince the Lord that we are devoted disciples, even though we praise his name, believe in him, try to walk with him, but we hang on to the hurts and the brokenness of the past as if it's now this trophy or license for me to live at a substandard level than the freedom that Christ has purchased for me to be free from it and to become like the Father. So, here's Will, and he wants to be tough like Papa, in his view. Well, I want him to learn what that really means. It's not just about the physical, and it's not just about what he does in life. It's about how he begins to understand this and correlates it to the faith that he needs to have in this life.
Sucker.
He's wrong. It don't take much strength to pull a trigger, but try and get up every morning, day after day, and work for a living. Let's see him try that. Then we'll see who's the real tough guy. The working man is the tough guy. Your father's the tough guy.
But everybody loves him, just like everybody loves you on the bus. It's the same thing.
No, it's not the same. People don't love him. They fear him. There's a difference.
You understand that?
You will when you get older. I'm sorry I hit you.
Who's the tough guy? The working man's the tough guy. And I'll tell you what, that's kind of the mentality that I grew up with. I want to read something to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. The Apostle Paul writes this. He says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men. Would you say that with me? Act like men. No, you can't act like men. No, you got to stand up. You got to say this with an attitude. Okay, stand up. Act like a man. Say it again. Act like a man. Okay, understand. This is kind of how I see Paul writing this. Now, don't sit down yet. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Say this with me. Act like a man. Okay, you can be seated. It's left to interpretation. You know, how do we know what a man is supposed to be? In light of being a father, how do we know what a father is supposed to be? Well, all of that is found in Christ and in our Father in heaven. If you want to be a great father, spend time with the perfect Father in heaven. Have relationship with him. Who's the tough guy? The working man's the tough guy. Now I want you to know, I'm not talking about whether you are a laborer or if you're an executive. See, this isn't about career or professional or the occupation you have. It doesn't matter if you wear a suit to work or you're wearing overhauls or you're wearing fatigues. It's about taking this idea of what a man is and finding it in the Father and in Christ and allowing that to become who we are becoming and who we will become. And it plays out in every area of our life. And understand that when this passage is written, it wasn't just really gender-related, though he's writing to them. He says, act like a man. The point is this. Don't act like a child. That's what he's saying. It's about the working man, working out our faith. Every day, showing up for work. In our faith. Our walk with the Lord. Dealing with circumstances in our life that change and they come and go. And something seems to be cyclical. And, you know, things that are hard to deal with. And frustration and disappointment. And all the things that we deal with in this life. And yet, all of these things call for us to, you know, allow faith to be the foundation. And those things pull that faith out of us that we show up. You show up in life. You know, when I remember living on 33rd Avenue and 78th Street in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Grew up for part of my childhood in that house, that neighborhood. And I remember Saturdays. You know, Dad's mowing the grass. Dad's scraping the house. It's got to be painted again. Dad's repairing a car. He's doing all of this stuff. And as a kid, you know what I get to do? I had to come racing out the back door with my bat and my glove and a baseball and run to the park with all of my buddies. I want you to know that if I still did that on Saturdays, my wife would have words for me. And she should. Not that I can't go play ball, but that, you know, it's act like a man. Don't act like a child. These seasons, and some of you guys down here and sitting in other places, you know, you're in the transition. You know, you still get to run out and do what you want, but you're also kind of starting to become a man. And you know what? It's time. Some of the choices you're starting to make now, you're deciding what kind of man you're going to be. And I want you to know, as your pastor and friend and someone who loves you and actually prays for you and thinks about you and all of that, I'm just telling you, it's time for you to act like a man. Doesn't mean you can't have fun. I want you to know it's fun. It's good. But it's time for you to start acting like a man. You're starting to become young men. And there's moments that you want to go home and play video games and play with your G.I. Joe in private because you don't want your friends to know. But there's other moments where the man jumps out too. You know, the man kind of peeks out and it's okay, you're in a transition period. I'm just telling you that some of you are embarking, and I want you to know that you're on the threshold of manhood, and I want you to hear this. You are about to enter the big leagues. It's the big leagues. Tough guy. Working man's a tough guy. The guy who's going to work and show up in his faith every day, regardless of his profession or career, or regardless of personality or natural tendencies or, you know, those kind of things. We all have that individuality that God created us with. But the bottom line is that you need to show up in your faith every day. You need to work out your faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Work it out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, a sincerity. And how you live, and it's going to show up in your attitude and how you conduct yourself. And though I'm looking at you guys and talking to you, it's for all of us in this room, men, you know, women, married, unmarried, it's for all of us. I want you to know, as a father, it's not about the spectacular moments to make impressions on your children. It's not about the spectacular moments. It's not about them watching you save somebody's life. I mean, that's great, and you should do it. I mean, we do it if we have the opportunity, but it's not about these spectacular extreme moments that happen once or twice in our parenting. The spectacular thing that we want to show our children is that each day we show up in life. And by the end of a long life of God gives it to us, that will be spectacular. The working man. The working man's the tough guy. Hey, Will, the working man's the tough guy. The guy who shows up. The guy who deals with pain. Physical, emotional, relational, hardship, whatever it is. And they get to watch our faith being lived out. So I wore these clothes today, and I know they were the right clothes because when I showed up for the early service, a gentleman caught me and said, "You milking cows today?" Before the second service, a lady saw me and she looked at me and she went, "Hey, Farmer Brown." So I know I wore the right clothes today to portray this working man, and I didn't have to borrow them. These are my clothes. See these gloves? Do you know how they got like this? You guys are brilliant. Stand up. We want to applaud for you. Yeah, they know how these gloves got this way. By working. These are not video controller game wear marks on these gloves. They got this way from working. And I didn't have to borrow these from someone, by the way. You know how this got like this? Why this looks like this? Because I hit Brock a lot with it. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, it got this way from work. You don't, listen, you may not know this, you don't buy these off the shelf that look like this. Got this way from work. From leaking pipes. I hate plumbing. Amen. Yeah, amen. All over this room, there's guys saying amen. From work. I used Bob Frisky, those of you who, many of you know him, used him in the first service. I had him stand up. And I said, you know why Bob looks like he does? And I said, not physically, but he's respected around here, and he should be, and he's a man of faithfulness, and he understands hard work, and he understands showing up, and he understands hardship, and all of these things. You know why he looks like he does as a man, not physically, but as a man in his spirit? Because he's had to work things out with God in his life. Faithful to show up. He's not a perfect man. I mean, I talked to his wife. But he's a working man. He's a tough guy. Because he exercises his faith and has to work out conviction and hardship and then apply it to his life and relationships and everything else. He's a working man. Working man's a tough guy. The guy working out his faith, that's the tough guy. You see, Will, my grandson, he has this idea that it's just kind of physical right now. You see, his just a little bit older sister, Libby, will sometimes ignore him. And he's calling to her, "Wibby, Wibby, Wibby, Wibby," and he wants to play. And she just kind of, little does he know that God's actually preparing him for marriage. But, that was a joke. Okay, so, anyhow. And so he gets frustrated. And I watched this yesterday. We celebrated Father's Day dinner yesterday. I had family and my parents over and cousin or nephew and all of that. And so we're all together. And I'm watching. They're out in the yard. We're hanging out on kind of the concrete patio on the back of the house. And Libby's ignoring Will. And he wants her attention and wants her to play with him. And so he starts to do this. And then he'll look at her, and then every once in a while she'll kind of glance. And when she glances, he goes, then she'll turn away. I'm watching this. And then he'll, hey, Will, that's not how tough guys act. That's not how tough guys act. Now, some of you in here are like, oh, stereotypical, traditional, the pastor. No, this is not good to raise your grandchild like this, and you should be. He's my grandson. So, you know, you do whatever you want in your house. You know, but right now for him, it's physical related. You know, we were in the garage and we had tools and stuff, and I was teaching him to drill through a board at, you know, 3 or 4 years old and, you know, drill through this, and he gets to operate it and, you know, teaching him safety and letting him do it. And this was fun for him, you know. So you grab a scrap board and now all of a sudden it's got 18 holes in it, you know, and you went through 3 drill bits. But anyhow, you know, and I don't know, something happened where the board spun and caught his finger, you know, and I said, oh, you're okay, you know, you'll be tough, you'll be all right. So right now for him, this whole tough thing, other than the socks, I think he's beginning to understand that it's just kind of physical, but this is not where it ends. You see, I'm his grandfather, and so we want to continue to contribute in his life and understand what tough is, and then as he grows and develops it, that toughness, that strength, has got to correlate into dealing with things in life. And now that is based from a spiritual walk with the Lord. That he learns how to go through this life as a good soldier and endure hardship and be patient in affliction and have hope and be brave and be strong and, you know, work at his faith. That it's not some separate thing. It's very much who he is and how he lives the rest of his life and all that he does that affects his life. That he shows up working his faith because the working man's the tough guy. The guy working out his faith. The woman working out her faith. She's the tough guy. Well, you know what I mean. You're not offended I called you a tough guy. Are you, Jenna? Okay, no, okay. So you are tough. See? Good luck, Rock. Working man's the tough man. The tough guy. See, I grew up with a little bit different perspective on the tough guy because of who my dad was. You know, it was all about physical and emotional restraint. But I wanted to take some of that good that he taught me, and now through faith in Christ and looking at the Father in heaven and see that there was some good in this, and then there's a whole bunch that the Father in heaven wants to add to this. You see, Will, my grandson, I don't want him to become like his dad. His dad is a good man. His dad is a good, good man. I don't want Will to become like his papa. I want Will to become like the Father in heaven. And he will learn much through his father, Justin, about the Father in heaven. Hopefully he can learn a little bit about Papa and God and that, you know, we kind of look alike. Just a little. I got a long way to go. It's about showing up. It's about being faithful. It's about loving people still when they don't love you like they should. And that your kids get to see that. See, that's the working man. That's the tough guy. Loving people when they don't love you back. Doing things for people and not expecting to be repaid. That's the tough guy. It's having, you know, daughters and a wife and the emotions that, you know, we as men, we try to understand. We do. I'm speaking for myself. I try. I don't understand all. I don't get it all. I think it's kind of a quick fix. Well, if you look at it this way and do this, then, you know, there it is. So now you don't have to worry for 4 days going through all this when, you know, it can be over and like, well, that don't work. You know, I do my best to be their girlfriend, so to speak. You know, I mean, because it's kind of how you feel, you know. trying to be a girlfriend. I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to get this, and I don't get it all. I don't get it all, but here's the deal. I don't go and run off and hide in the garage or all of a sudden look at a project I've been putting off and all of a sudden the project looks way more appealing. No. You hang in. You show up. You see, that's the tough guy. That's the guy who's watchful, living out faith, doing things out of love. That's what we're called to. That's the tough guy. That's what the Father's done, putting up with your antics and mine and all the stuff we go through. He didn't just leave. He didn't abandon us. He's the tough guy. Keeps showing up. He's there. I want Will to understand as time goes on the principles of what he thinks a tough guy is. The working man. Man who's working out his faith to the point that it's coming as an attitude and conduct out of his life to the relationships and responsibilities all around him. That he would be a light, a city on a hill, salt of the earth, all because he's a tough guy. He's working out his faith. This is what's happening. He's showing up for work, faith, faithfulness. You know, my dad, 74 years old. I mean, he's not young. He's not old. But, you know, they just showed up here recently and relocated here. And at 74 years old, he hears about Mega Sports Camp, our vacation Bible school, our version of vacation Bible school. He goes and finds Rachel and says, hey, you know, whatever you need, I'm willing to help out. 74 years old, and we're doing stuff for little kids. He doesn't need to do that. He doesn't need to do that. He's 74. Those jobs are for kind of the people who already have kids, right? I mean, that's how we kind of think. Oh, I don't have kids anymore, so that's somebody else's deal. He's 74. He shows up for those 2 days for a few hours at a time or whatever it was, that time frame. And, you know, the first night, I loved hearing about it. He's teaching basketball skills with these young kids. And there's 21 screaming girls and one boy. And I'm watching him. And I'm hearing about him. You know? Brock was telling me, because he was kind of there and he was working somewhere else, but he observed Grandpa the next night. There was some kid on the ground who was laying there kind of crying, which, by the way, was never a strong suit of dealing with us, you know, for him as a father. You know, there was no laying on the ground and crying, you know. So, you know, Brock's saying he's watching Grandpa. He's kind of standing over this kid and talking to him, but he doesn't have the sweetest clue what to do. But 21 screaming girls and one boy and little kids running all over. That's the tough guy. Showing up. Doing something. Exercising faith and faithfulness. That's the tough guy. You want to be tough? Want to exercise your faith? Get involved and show up and do things in your life, others' lives. That's the tough guy. Holding your daughters or your wife when they're crying. You don't know what to say. That's the tough guy. See, showing up in the conflict. Instead of hiding or running. I want you to know with Will, every time I pick him up, I let him cry, I hold him. It's okay. He needs to know that there's compassion and there's a time to cry. And he's just a little boy. There's also times with Will that we wrestle. And I know how to, you know, kind of let him win a little bit at moments. But no wrestling match ends without me winning. Because Papa's the tough guy. And I know how to hold him and restrain him to a point that he can't move. And then he's, let go. Don't give up. Oh, another lesson for a tough guy. You don't give up. Come on. Now let loose a little bit and let him work his way out. Because at some point, it's going to go from this little physical understanding of a tough guy to when he grows and develops and he understands you don't give up, you keep showing up because you're going to trust the Lord and you're going to run to him and you're going to be watchful and you're going to do everything in love no matter what the world says because I'm a tough guy. God's a tough guy. See, fatherhood. Fatherhood. If it's a traditional home, I just want you to know, she shouldn't be doing all the heavy lifting. It can't be just, I worked hard today. What do you think she's been doing? She can't do all the heavy lifting, and nor should she. Act like a man. Yeah, but I didn't grow up with this and I didn't grow up with that. I understand and it's real and it affects us. But if you are in faith in Christ and walking in faith, then you know what? That should be getting further away in the influence over you, and the influence of our perfect Father should now be transforming you and act like a man. Not like a child. It's a tall order. I can't do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. I can't do it without the help of the Father, His mercy, His grace. I can't do it without His instruction, correction, encouragement, picking me up and dusting me off, lifting my eyes and getting it off myself and get it on who I'm supposed to become. Tough guy. Working man. Working man's a tough guy. You're going to work your faith over? You're going to allow faith and the Holy Spirit to work you over? You're going to show up for work every day? And I don't mean your job. I mean the responsibility of being a believer. A working man's a tough guy. Working out his faith. I want you to listen to this, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life for which He's taken hold of you for. And that you have also confessed a good testimony before many witnesses. In other words, we profess Christ and let our life be transformed that we would be a good witness of the saving power of what He has taken hold of us for. So we should be watchful. We should stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. And that all that we do is done in love. See, the tough guy loves. He shows up. He lets love lead him instead of selfishness. He lets love and character and integrity lead him instead of his personal preference. That's the tough guy. The tough guy knows when to work a second job or work overtime so that his family doesn't go without. That's a tough guy. But the tough guy also knows when not to work extra hours or overtime so that his family doesn't go without him. I want to read something to you that a daughter wrote her father. It says, Dear Dad, you are brave, strong, and faithful. You, in times of uncertainty, again and again, you faced them head on. You stood your ground, and yet you knew how to run to God. This showed me how to be brave, and that I can always run to God for protection. In your times of weaknesses, He has been strong. You allowed those moments to show and reveal the truth. That in our weak moments, it is okay to embrace them because it opens our heart to God's strength. Thank you for being strong enough, even when it probably hurt. To live in humility, you are strong. I know there have been moments of pain and too many trials, but your faithfulness to your family, your God, stayed strong. This not only purified your heart, but it was a testimony to those around you. Your testimony also was a true example on how to live for Christ and that it's worth it and hard work pays off. Thank you for living your life in such a way that encourages so many. I thank you for being an example to me on how to live brave, strong, and faithful. I'm so thankful I get to call you my dad. There was nothing in there about perfection. It was just written about a sincerity. You know, it's okay for our children to see us weak as long as they know and see in us how to run to the Lord. Because that's the tough guy. Becoming like the Father. Not running from life, but dealing with it with a sincerity of faith. It's not about being spectacular. It's not about any isolated moment. It's about showing up for work day after day in your faith, working out your faith, and working out being a dad. Why don't you stand with me, please, all over this room? You and I are without excuse, regardless of our past. If our faith is in Christ, He has set us free and empowered us to become like Him. Working out our faith. The working man's a tough guy. And my grandson, I want him to learn it little by little through his life. If God should tarry, that he would understand the simple little lessons at 3 and 4 year old and the whole phrase, tough guy, transforms through time with greater understanding of who he will become. Not harsh, but watchful. Alert in his faith. Be strong. Do everything in love. Then, he'll be the working man. Tough guy. Tough guy's a working man.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.